Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the collaborated podcast of Thistle Do Nicely and the Scottish History Podcast. I am Rory Angus. You may never have heard my voice. I am one of three hosts of the Thistle Do Nicely pod. I am joined, as always, by Chris Irvin.
Hi there.
Johnny Naismith.
Hello, hello.
And then we have with us the man you're probably most familiar with, Owen. Owen Innes.
Hi.
Hey, Owen. So Owen, obviously the host of the Scottish History Podcast. It depends on which stream you're coming from, but you might be familiar with him, you might be familiar with us. Today we're getting together to talk about, you know, Scotland. And because it's spooky season, because we're coming up to Halloween, we're going to be talking about spooky Scottish ghost stories, Scottish scary stories, a little bit of the history of Halloween, because as you guys know, we invented everything, including Halloween, right?
Too right.
I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure we did. I did a little bit of cursory research, and we invented at least half of Halloween.
Which half?
The Hallow bit.
Right.
The better half, the bigger half.
Yeah. Actually, it made more sense if we invented the ween.
The ween part of it.
Technically, the een bit is kind of ours as well, because een is how how Scots would say evening.
Oh, here we go then. This is what we need.
So it's kind of like Hallow's evening, or it's Hallow's Eve, but we just say een because we're lazy.
You see, it's nice. It's nice to be in a podcast where you actually learn facts for a change.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is very, very offensive. But at least we're going to have somebody who actually has some qualifications and some research chops, whereas we just usually wing it.
And it still takes three of us.
It's all of my qualifications from the University of Wikipedia.org.
So on that, with that, you know, rough and ready introduction, I guess we should get into the meat and bones of it. You know, what with it being Halloween, it's probably more, you know, bloody meat and skeletal bones, maybe in a graveyard.
Skeletal?
Skeletal?
Skeletal? Skeletal? Who says skeletal? How many E's have you added into skeletal there?
Skeletal, it's, you know, like it's the Spanish way of saying it. Yeah.
You've just been watching that Disney film that's got the Remember Me is the song that you just end up in buckets at the end.
I mean, that is a heart-wrenching film. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, really strips you down to your skeleton.
All right, we should talk about, you know, actual research and actual facts, as we said. So, with that, Owen, you're the Scottish history buff. Do you want to take us through a little bit of the history of Halloween and how the Scots, as they did with everything else, invented it?
Halloween's history basically takes us back to the Celtic times, not the Celtic times. I'm absolutely sick to death of people saying Celtic times.
That's a podcast for another day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's specifically an NBA fan from the Boston affiliate, right? That's the only thing that we're talking about.
Definitely. We're not talking about any of the gruesome twosome from the west side of the country.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You guys are mostly from the west of the country, so...
Like I said, it's a podcast for another time.
Yeah. It's going to be a problematic one.
Essentially, the 1st of November was the Celtic New Year. So the 31st of October.
That's just bad maths. Why would they start the new year the 1st of November?
So it basically all kind of comes down to it was the last day of summer.
Right.
So
the 31st of October is the last day of summer in Scotland. That's
controversial. Well, ambitious.
Yeah. Well, that's, well, I've been certainly right now, summer ended at least a number of weeks ago. Yeah. it was technically on a Wednesday this year.
Yeah. It's a movable feast.
So the last day is 31st. The first day of the new year is the 1st of November?
Yes. So basically the New Year festival was at the time called Sowin or Sowin, which basically means the summer's end.
Is that one of those brutal Gaelic pronunciations, yes, which is like when you read it, it's nothing like the way it's pronounced?
Yes, it looks like Samhain. Yeah. All one word, but like to kind of split it into two, it would be Samhain.
Isn't Samhain quite a good indie artist these days?
Yeah, he's got his second album's really good.
Yeah. Bit of a
whiner. I would be surprised if someone hasn't actually done that before. I'm pretty sure I passed by a bar in Edinburgh somewhere that says, "Appearing tonight, Samhain."
Can I just point out that in honour of this podcast tonight, I was in my local liquor store and found a beer by Allagash called Haunted House Hoppy Dark Ale, and it's 6.66%. So I got really into the mood tonight.
That's pretty good. I like that. That's pretty
nice.
Cool.
It's nice. Yeah. So nice. Allagash, if you're on the looking for the up and up when it comes to podcasts, you know, you got two to choose from here.
So. All right. So Owen, Sowin misspelled, yes. Samhain.
Misspelled as Samhain. Yeah. I think all Gaelic should just be all phonetic. But yeah, so basically it just meant that it was the end of the summer and that the cold, harsh winters were then coming. So therefore it meant death. So Sowin symbolized the boundary of the world of the living and then the world of the dead, essentially.
Hmm.
So the 31st of October was essentially the night of the living, and then from then on it would be...
when the veil between the living and the dead was at its thinnest, and the dead could come through and, you know, chap on the door and say hello.
So it was like our version of Day of the Dead, basically.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Huh. Pretty much.
Okay, I didn't know we had our own version.
The Celts basically believed that the dead would rise on the 31st of October, so they lit bonfires everywhere to scare off the spirits, and then carving out a turnip, not a pumpkin. You carve out a turnip.
Right, but the thing is, have you carved out a turnip ever?
I can't say that I ever have.
It doesn't quite have the same structure, does it?
Let me guess, America co-opted Halloween and introduced the pumpkin, didn't they? They said, turnip isn't good enough for us. I'm going to get Santa Claus in a red jacket, and he's going to carve a motherfucking pumpkin.
You're so confused again. You do this all the time. Santa Claus is Christmas. I know he scares you, but he's Christmas time. He's not Halloween.
Yeah, but he must be hanging around on Halloween, right?
Just getting warmed up.
I think that was your dad trying to scare you.
Just carving pumpkins in his vest and red trousers.
No, but like carving a turnip is near impossible compared to carving a pumpkin. It's one of the things that Americans have taken and just made vastly better. Yeah, the one thing that Americans have done better, like carving a turnip is impossible. Carving a pumpkin is vastly easier. So they got that right when they took it over and improved on it. Like it's way more efficient.
Let me put it this way, right? If you're saying that carving out a pumpkin is easier than carving out a turnip, we're talking about the Celts here. You know, we're talking about like folk who were using stones and shit. They weren't they didn't have like a giant meat cleaver, you know, from IKEA that they could just cut up this turnip with. They were doing it properly. They were taking
Was it the same idea of hollowing it out? Like, it's quite hard to hollow out a turnip, is it not?
Yeah,
it was basically to make a lantern. So I'm not sure they were making... I don't think they were making scary faces in them.
Come on, chaps. Let's not beat around the bush here. They were just setting turnips on fire, weren't they?
It's another pub sport gone wrong.
To be honest, if there is any type of pub sport, it would be... carving out a pumpkin, like
turnip, set fire to things,
and then 100 years later, they take it over to
Americans. Oh my God, I love what you've done with setting the turnip on fire, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a pumpkin instead, and we're going to carve it out, and it's going to be still great.
So big pumpkin conglomerate came in and was big like,
pumpkin. I hate yeah, big pumpkin.
Exactly. I'm it's not always even, the same.
I'm not even sure about it either, but if you think about it as well, a turnip's going to be more hardy than a pumpkin. So like, you know, a pumpkin, it starts to wilt after like a week. Yeah. Whereas with a turnip, it might have lasted like near enough throughout the whole winter.
I'm sure.
Maybe not the whole winter, but I don't know. I never saw that. It was just a
Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts missing out on turnip spice lattes.
I mean, turnip spice lattes, turnip spiced everything would be something
else. It would be amazing. A real turnip for the books.
Hey.
The idea of turnip spiced, like an alternate universe, turnip spiced like donuts has really tickled me.
You could totally imagine having the turnip as the cup and having the coffee in there and then just eating the turnip afterwards. It'd be amazing.
Ugh, every year, why? It's so bad. Why it's do you do this?
It's so hearty. It's so hearty, but I've got to get through it.
But it's part of the season. It's a tradition. I have to drink this.
I must be obviously a little bit lost here. But is there like bits of pumpkin floating in the bottom of a Starbucks or something? Is that
pumpkin spiced everything here during this time of the year is just massive. Like you can't buy anything without it being pumpkin spiced something.
Stuff that
it's usually roughly about, even by the in American sense, what like it's you know, Labor Day, which is like the first Sunday in September, first Monday in September. That's usually the sign when everybody's like, I can't believe pumpkin spice is back at Starbucks.
Oh, good.
See over here, like it's selection boxes. You know, I don't think we kind of really care about
it. Yeah, but Owen, imagine a selection box made out of turnips, you know?
I mean, it would certainly make life easier for making haggis, I suppose, but...
There you go. We should get on this, chaps.
One wee thing about turnips. You know, obviously, you have your haggis, neeps, and tatties. What would you prefer to only have? So you would have haggis. Haggis is the one constant here. Hmm. But would you rather omit turnip or omit the mashed potato? I would rather have my haggis and turnip.
Really?
I would rather omit mashed potatoes. Not that I don't like mashed potato. I'm just saying.
I don't know. You might be a sociopath.
I prefer the turnip.
Definitely
am.
You've gone horribly wrong there.
Yeah. You've lost us. Johnny, what's your thoughts? Well,
potatoes for sure. I mean,
I mean,
turnips are good, but I'm sticking potatoes with my haggis, I reckon.
Yeah.
Ah, you're missing it. You're missing it.
It's going to be more for you, though. That's the main thing.
You're going to have all our turnips. That is the main
thing. So basically, if there was like a sort of a dinner party contest or something, it was like, right, mate, haggis, and you'd all be finished. I'd still be trying to carve it that turnip.
So other than carving turnips, what else we got? Back in the day,
there was tons of traditions. Like back in the day, they would on these big bonfires, they would have couples would throw nuts onto the bonfires, and if they produced hardly a sound, then their marriage would be a good one and be very happy. However, if the nuts were to start spitting out and crackling and making horrible noises, then that's exactly what the marriage would be like, all spitfire and.
So I read about this tradition myself, and I just can't believe that it exists in Scotland without a lot of, like, you know, young Scottish girls courting some guy and then talking about throwing his nuts on the fire. But trick or treating came from Scotland as well, right?
Yeah, kind of. We didn't necessarily go trick or treating. That's another Americanism of the whole thing. We went guising, and essentially this was again a Celtic custom where the kids were disguised as spirits on the same night, on the 31st, of October. They'd be basically disguised as spirits to ward off the real ones. So essentially to scare the scary spirits. So dress them up scary to scare the scary spirits, which, you know, makes sense in
perfect Scottish
brain.
Logic.
It's like a kind of Scooby-Doo plot, isn't it?
Essentially. And the kids were rewarded for it. What with, I cannot remember.
Turnips.
Yeah. The hollowed turnips. Out part of a turnip.
Thank you for warding off the spirits. Now go and
just
turn that.
Tiny little cubes of turnip.
Go turn that into a coffee.
Insides of a turnip and some burnt nuts.
Thank God the Americans came along and turned that into Hershey's.
Oh, there is nothing worse on this earth. Absolutely nothing worse on this earth than that.
It
Hershey's
is
stuff.
Terrible chocolate.
Oh, and we're sponsored by Hershey's.
Well, I'm doing you a favor, is all I can say. Cadbury, on the other hand.
Yeah. Anyway. So, other than, all right, so we invented pumpkin carving. We just made it harder on ourselves. We invented guising. We invented Halloween.
Yes.
Any other Scottish specific traditions from Halloween? Anything else you guys remember or you did as a kid?
Just getting beaten up by the older kids in the street to steal all your sweets.
I think that's universal, Johnny. Don't worry. Everybody's been through that, no matter which country you come from.
Yeah.
The duking for apples was was a Scottish thing.
Ah, that's good.
Yes. Classic.
The Celts held the apple as a sacred thing.
I don't think dunking for apples is necessarily universally known in America. I'm not sure, so could you explain that to our
American
listeners?
I most certainly can. Duking or dunking for apples would be, you would have a basin of water with apples in it, and then you have to either tie your hands behind your back or put your hands behind your back, put your face into the water and try and grab an apple with your mouth.
It's good. There's always that thing of going in and you'd end up like, there's one with like half a bite out of it and, you know, one's like half in pieces. You're like, just get something.
I believe it's very popular at Guantanamo Bay.
I always have vivid memories of being a kid, and I don't know if you guys ever did this with a fork.
Yeah. Off the back of a chair.
Yeah, yes. and you'd have the fork in your mouth and then hang over the basin, drop the fork, and then you would hope that the fork would land in the apple and therefore you got the apple.
So slightly more hygienic. Yeah. That was probably after an outbreak of like chicken pox or something.
The Black Plague.
Could have been Black Plague. COVID-15. I didn't know. But looking for apples isn't a thing here at all, is it?
I don't think it is. Like, it's not come up in. Now that I'm a sad middle-aged man, you know, I've not been to any Halloween parties for a while, but I don't remember ever. It, you know, I would have thought it would have been a thing at some point, but it's just not.
It seems fun. I guess now, Chris, you're the only one of us with a kid. You're going to have to force it upon him when he starts doing Halloween every year.
You know, if we're still kind of considering what to get him as a Halloween outfit this year, because last year he was born at the end of September, and I very excitedly got him a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man costume. And I thought, you know, and I got the dog a Slimer costume, and I thought, that's perfect. And the dog fit it perfectly, but he was too little, so I kind of, you know, overcompensated. So I'm really feeling the pressure this year on what to dress him up as, because I believe that's the only reason you have a kid is to dress them up in stuff and embarrass them.
But surely if he's too big for the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man costume, that just makes it look better.
No, it was like, it could have suffocated him, and it was too much.
Have you thought about dressing him up as a turnip this year?
Well, now I have.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm thinking about just, you know, running a bath for him on Halloween night and dunking his face in to try and get some apples, but I don't know. I'll have to think about it. You know, ultimately, it always comes down to the, you know, what goes well with the dog, and it's just going to always go back to Han Solo and Chewbacca, so, you know,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Pepper is more of a Ewok than a Chewbacca. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, I know, but then you're just going to have an Ewok and an Ewok, aren't you? So, you know, work with me here. What do I do? C-3PO and, yeah, and an Ewok? I could do that.
Paint your son gold. Done. I've got gold spray paint right here. If I all go, right,
we'll sort it out. I'll
mail it to you.
We'll sort it out after this.
All right. Sorry, we went on a tangent there.
But yeah, what was so, like, just to throw it forward to modern times, slightly modern times, can you guys remember any of your top costumes when you were a kid or when you were an adult?
I only ever remember one. I think it was a gig. I think I went to a Halloween gig. One of my friends put on a gig in Glasgow. And it was one of those classic, like, ah, shit, I forgot it's a Halloween costume party. So had to think very, very quickly. So I decided to go as Fat Bastard from Austin Powers 2.
Solid.
Because I had a kilt. And basically all else that I needed to do was I had a pillow, and at the top two corners we taped up to make them nice bosoms, you know,
nice,
underneath,
yes,
my t-shirt, pulled that over. And my dad, who's an absolute whiz with just like sort of crafts and stuff like that, made me a big sort of Busby hat out of crepe paper and an old rolled up sleeping mat that you would have for camping. So nice. It was all sort of rolled up, cut, and then I wore that. And
that's amazing.
We cut up a Jimmy hat, so I had like big ginger sideburns and stuff like that.
Nice.
I went to the gig. I had to leave because I think I was working early the next morning. It turned out that I won the fancy dress competition, and nice. I never even knew about it. They had to, because I wasn't there, they had to give the prize to somebody else. So I don't even remember what it was, but
wow.
That's my only...
I
do have one more costume, but it wasn't for Halloween. My mum and dad
really
dressed
ominous.
Me up in about 1990. So I must have been about 3 or 4 years old for gala day. They dressed me up as a Zulu, full black face and everything, man. Dear. It was horrible. There's just an image of me on the side of the street crying my eyes out. I must have known it was politically incorrect back then.
If this podcast takes off and that photo comes out, you're scuppered, mate. I'm sorry. The Daily Mail's going to have a field day.
We're going to have to delete this whole recording chat. Let's get out of here. Jesus.
It's horrific.
Oh, man. The less said about this, the better, I think. I remember one when I was very young being dressed up as like a domino, like a single domino. And it was basically, I mean, probably again, thanks to my mum, quite swift moves with cardboard. But I remember really vividly because it was, you're kind of in this sort of block of cardboard and your arms could sort of stick out the edges of it. But it was just like waddling around as a kind of square, like domino with the dots in the front and back.
The only problem I have with that, Johnny, is that you need at least two other people dressed up as dominoes to create a domino effect. I mean, did you have anyone else with you?
No, it's just a single domino. That was it.
Oh, that's just sad.
He had one, like two other dominoes, just small dominoes that you would place in front of him and behind him, and
just
then knock
in a line
one
and
over,
fall over.
Then fall over. Yeah. It took a long time, but it was effective.
It was really hard to stand up again once you went down.
Irvin, what about you?
Well, I'm gonna talk to you about my one Halloween regret, which I mean, I had all right costumes over the years, but I remember when I was about 10 or 11 and South Park had become a thing, had become quite big, and I was going to go out with three other boys, and we were all going to dress up as Cartman, Kyle, Stan, and Kenny, which was quite an easy thing to do. But my mum, at the last minute, vetoed me going as, I'm assuming I was Cartman,
Let's check. I was definitely the fat boy. My mom vetoed me at the last minute. It's like, no one's going to know what South Park is. They're just going to think that you have four boys dressed up and goes. So she made me dress up as a mummy. So I went out with Kyle, Stan, and Kenny, and a mummy. Like, what are you three supposed to be? Like, oh god! And it still makes me cringe to this day.
I hope. Because you had a friend growing up called Kyle. I really hope
it was Kyle.
Kyle was
one of them. It was his idea.
I hope Kyle was Kyle, though.
No, I'm pretty sure he was Kenny. I mean, he has a Kenny vibe, doesn't he?
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. But yeah, so I, as a child, I don't remember too many great costumes, but my favorite one of all time, Rory, which you were involved in, is when we were at university and you, me, and two other guys dressed up as the quartet from Anchorman.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
A lot of fun. We put like about a month's worth of effort into preparing for that, and everybody got like fully into character. I drank so much whiskey and had so much fake tan on that I have no memory of that night. It was spectacular.
That's brilliant. Rory, isn't your mom a costume designer? Didn't you have some brilliant ones growing up, I can imagine?
Yeah, I mean, she was similar to what Owen was saying. Like, she was always good at, like, me turning up last minute and being like, I'm going to go out trick-or-treating. Can you just put me something? And she would, like, go into the like, pile of clothes and pull out, like, some phenomenal, like, Riddler from the Batman costume or whatever. One of my favorite ones was, I think I was, like, about 8 years old, and she dressed me up as a punk, and it was definitely one of her less impressive endeavors, I'll say. I wore a bin bag, and then she just put a bunch of like safety pins on it.
Yes.
And then spiked my hair up and was like, on you go, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You're 8 years old. Nobody's going to give a shit. So I did enjoy that one. I like the idea of having dressed up as a punk, but just wearing a bin bag. All right. So we went on a nice wee tangent there for a bit. But Owen, anything else from the history of, you know, like I keep on saying, Scots inventing Halloween that we need to touch on? You know, we obviously invented all the traditions. Anything else?
There's a couple of other things. The first one kind of just harpens back to the original Samhain festival, and that's the Beltane Fire Festival, which still happens every year in Edinburgh. Mainly up on Calton Hill, there's like fire. It's pretty awesome to see this big procession that kind of goes up and down the Royal Mile.
That's pretty cool. Awesome.
But I think the main thing as well is, like, you know, you can say that the Scots invented Halloween because the term Halloween is Scottish. So it basically means All Hallows' Eve. But in Scottish, we say een instead of evening. So it'd be gooden or gidden. So Hallows' een then shortened to Halloween. And it basically means it's the eve of the saints. So November the 1st, once the kind of Christian church kind of took over everything, or the Catholic church kind of took over everything.
Typical.
November 1st became Saints Day, and the 2nd of November became Souls Day. So you had... So Halloween is the eve before Saints Day, which is so the 31st.
Yeah, thing, yeah. It's, I'm following you.
I'm not following me though.
All Saints Day. It's the evening before All Saints Day.
Yes. So then you have All Saints Day on the 1st, and then All Souls Day on the 2nd, which altogether became known as All Hallows Tide.
Ah.
So I think, because that's a term that I know that I'd heard of before. It wasn't necessarily something that I'd come across before, that I knew about, but it was something I'd come across before, was the term All Hallows Tide. So we technically invented Halloween because we invented the name Halloween, meaning All Hallows Eve.
So there's a general consensus.
In your face, America, up yours.
Okay.
We win again.
You can shove Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker up your arse because we invented Halloween. It's a hocus pocus joke. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
All right, Owen, thank you for that. Thank you for once again proving that Scotland has invented everything. You gents ready for some to share some scary, spooky stories around our campfire?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. By all means.
Good.
Have you learned your lesson from Haggis? Have you double sourced this?
He's been back in the dark web, hasn't he?
No.
The spooky web.
Yes, the spider's web. Ooh. No, this is, I mean, well, you be the judge, Christopher, as to whether you believe this is a true story or not.
Okay.
It comes from very reliable sources. So I'm just going to go into this. I'm going to tell you the story, and then I will. Then we'll maybe fill in the gaps afterwards. But all right, are you all sitting comfortably? Have you got a blanket to look after yourselves?
My Allagash haunted house, hoppy dark ale, 6.66% alcohol, going down very well, Allagash. So thank you.
All right, okay. One dark and brooding October night, deep in the Highlands of Scotland, Neil MacFarlane was walking home from a hard day's work at the mill. As he trudged along near the banks of a burn, over the sound of running water, Neil could hear a faint voice humming a melancholy song. The melody was punctuated by the sound of wet cloth slapping against stone. Intrigued by the sounds and thinking to himself, why would anybody be washing clothes in a river at this time of the evening? Neil pushed through the bushes and trees to get a look at where the noise was coming from. As he moved closer to the river, he saw a figure crouched in the water with his back to him. The figure was naked from the waist up. Its skin was as pale as the moonlight, with grey lank hair falling down its back. As best he could tell, it was an old woman washing clothes in the stream. Usually the water that flowed down from the hills into the burn was always clear, but around the crouched figure and flowing away from her, the water had turned as red as blood. Neil watched as the woman picked up her clothes and slapped them against the rocks as if she was trying to wash the stains out of them. As she did this, the water around her turned even more crimson. The funny thing was, Neil could have sworn he recognized the clothes she was washing. It was hard to tell in the light, but it looked like one of his sister's dresses. Concerned for the woman and worried that she might be injured, Neil decided that he would call out to her and see if he could help. But as he took a step forward and opened his mouth, the woman began to move. Still squatting on the rocks, she shuffled her feet, which to Neil's surprise and revulsion looked to be webbed. She turned to him, her grey complexion giving her the look of the dead. Her bare breasts were long and pendulous as she moved ungainly and awkwardly in the water towards him. When Neil finally saw her face, he recoiled in horror. Aged beyond natural life, her eyes sunken and dark, her nose long and hooked, with only one large nostril in the centre. Her mouth hung agape, revealing a black pit, only one large tooth protruding from her rotting gums. She looked at Neil and let out a deep, low moan that turned his legs to jelly and his spine to custard. He immediately turned away from the horrifying visage and stumbled away from the water's edge. Shaken and fearful of what he'd just seen, Neil, like any smart Scotsman when he's experienced a fright, made his way as fast as he could to the local pub, where he immediately ordered a double whiskey. The regulars could see the sweat in his forehead and the fear in his eyes and asked the poor lad what was wrong. So Neil told them about the hag in the water. "Aye, you've seen the Benny, said one of the old regulars, "the washerwoman in the water. She's a bad omen, you know, and they say she's a spirit of a woman who's passed away during childbirth and now doomed to wash the clothes of those who are about to die." Neil looked at the old man with even more fear than before, as he remembered the dress that the woman had been washing in the water. He looked around petrified. He swore he could hear humming again. At that point, the door of the pub burst open. In the doorframe stood Neil's father. "Neil, you need to come home now. It's your sister. There's been an accident." Bum, bum, bum!
Wow.
Okay. What do you guys think?
That's someone who needs some beers for breakfast.
Were you terrified? Are you scared of the old woman in the water?
Well, see, I work night shift now. Anytime that I hear water or any kind of noise, I'm going to be shitting myself.
Yeah, there you go. That was the story of, or a story about the Beni Yah, which, relating back to Samhain or Samhain, is another Gaelic word which is just horribly spelt. So it's spelt Bean Nigh, so BEANNIGHE, but is pronounced Beni Yah. And she is. She's the washerwoman in the water. And a lot of what I said there is basically what happens. She's a death omen, somebody that will foretell. If you see her, then she is basically washing the clothes of somebody who is soon to die. And she did die in childbirth, and she needs to complete this task. She needs to continue to wash clothes until she was meant to have died naturally. The point about her long and pendulous breasts is actually oddly relevant. Every time that she's mentioned, her long and drooping breasts are mentioned as well. So much so that there's this other side story. I know, it's bananas.
Is it mainly because it was men that were writing the story? That's all they could pay attention
yes,
to?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, the old lady with her saggy boobs. Hey, you know, it's just like he saw a granny like having a bath one day and just got like made up this entire like supernatural creature. But yeah, basically she's this creature that like lives in the water, that you see her before somebody's going to die. But there's this side story related to her where if you're able to sneak up on her, she can grant you wishes. The creepy thing about it is, so like they mention her breasts, they mention that they're so long and they get in the way of her doing her washing. So what she does is,
I hate when that
whips
happens,
them over her shoulder. Oh. Yeah, I know. So then you just whip them over your shoulder like she does,
yeah,
to get them out of the way.
I would use a clothes peg, to be honest. Get them up over your head, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're doing your washing, you've got clothes pegs handy, so it makes sense.
Exactly.
But if you want her to grant you a wish, what you need to do is sneak up on her, get one of her breasts in your mouth, which you can do because she's hook them behind her back, and then convince her that you're her foster child.
No, this is Harvey Weinstein territory. No.
Yes. No. Yes.
Come up with this.
It's horrifying. The whole thing is, and I want to make it clear, we are ask and get consent before podcast, but
as opposed to those other ones. Surely, are we just talking about a horny old grandmother with big saggy boobs?
No. The whole thing is that you're meant to convince her that you're her foster child, and that's why she'll grant you a wish. So it is like these creepy old men sneaking up on this old lady, and then yeah, the whole thing is just horrifying. It's just this weird, twisted version of the banshee, essentially, that for some reason the Scots came up with. This is when I'm going to distance myself from my own countrymen.
I've never heard that story. That's one of the most horrifying ghost stories I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know how sometimes when you kind of look at, we were talking about the Loch Ness Monster and how everybody has a Loch Ness Monster type story.
Yeah.
I just love how that story has just never translated anywhere else as well. It's like some guy in Lithuania talking about Lithuanian folklore is like, no, I'm good. It's not,
yes,
not for us.
Wait, yeah, Owen, you were a tour guide, right? Did anyone ever ask you about this story?
All the time. All the time.
A bunch of horny old grannies. tell me about Beni Yah.
Your grandmother coming round while Owen's driving the bus, telling them about, you know, ooh, Edinburgh Castle and just grabbing him.
Which river did you say it was again?
That is the first spooky story from our collaborative podcast. Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to give you the willies one way or another, right?
I don't think anyone's going to top that one.
Yeah, well,
I don't know about that. We'll see. That's just a all kinds of creepy one. But yeah, I guess take a break here. Everybody come back to the other feed. You know, the second half of this podcast is going to be on the Thistle Do Nicely podcast. So, you know,
like and subscribe.
But no, if you want to get the second half of this episode...
I don't know, man. After the story you've just told, I don't think anyone's going to need to...
I know. That's not one way that to like entice it's people like over to the other side.
Half a dozen of Owen's listeners are literally self-immolating right now.
I thought it was... I did the tame version of it. I just... I needed to fill in... I needed to be truthful.
That's the tame version?
That's the tame version.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
See, I'm just going to be inundated with messages saying, what is this smut all over your podcast?
Really dragged you down to our level here. Sorry, Owen.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
All right. Okay, so hopefully you liked the first half of this and you liked the first story and a bit of history. So jump over to the other half of this on the Thistle Do Nicely podcast stream where you can get stories from Chris, Johnny, and Owen. We hope to see you there.